This important podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store, offering a wide selection of prepping and survival products, including nutritional solutions and storable certified organic superfoods. Check out our full selection at healthrangerstore.com/prep with Mike. Thank you for your support. Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger with naturalnews.com. Joined today to discuss preparedness and survival for people who live in cities and suburbs. Joined by Ed Corcoran. He is the editor of Survivalist Magazine and the creator of the Complete Survivalist website. That's at CompleteSurvivalist.com. And he's here today to talk with us about what you can do to stay alive in a city or a suburb no matter what happens, whether it's an economic crisis, riots, war, whatever the case may be. So Ed, thanks for joining me today. And where do you want to begin with city and urban preparedness?
Oh boy, where to begin? I'll start off by saying that preparedness in the city and the suburbs isn't a whole lot different than preparing in other places. Your three basic elements that you're going to want to consider is food, water, and shelter, not particularly in that order. Shelter is your first concern. So if you're determining that you're going to shelter in place, as most people do, if you say you're living in an apartment building or you're living in the suburbs somewhere, you want to make sure that your home is fortified. You want to make sure that, you know, you're equipped to handle any kind of disaster, say if you live in hurricane country, you know, that you have those things on hand that you can quickly fortify your home and keep yourself safe. Now, as far as the other, you know, the bodily concerns, water is your next most vital storage item, because you can only go without water for 3 days. There's what they call the rule of threes. You can go, you can only go three days without water. You can go 3 weeks without food. You can go 3 minutes without air. Some would add another three and say that you can only go 3 hours without shelter. That's in terms of being out in the wilderness, you know, and the risk of hypothermia. But 3 days, that's your threshold. So you want to start storing up some water, and that can be a challenge for a lot of people, because water has a lot of, it takes up a lot of space, and it's heavy, and there's not too many places to stash water if you live in a small space like an apartment. But you want to think about, you need at least 1 gallon of water per person per day.
Yeah, that's pretty minimal, actually. that's bare survival, isn't it?
I'm not saying store 3 gallons of water, you know, if you have three people in your house, but if you have three people in your house and you want to store enough water to for a week, you'd want to store, you know, 1 gallon per day. So that'd be 21 gallons of water if you want to store for 2 weeks, you know, and so on. That's how you do the calculation. Now, there are other things that you can do in an apartment situation or in a suburban home situation where you can procure water. Obviously, if you're living in those areas, you're not going to be near a stream or a lake or a natural source, or maybe you might be, but chances are pretty good that you won't.
Right.
If you know that there's a disaster coming, fill up every sink and bathtub in your house, right? That's key. If there's a hurricane coming, if there's some kind of storm coming where you might lose power, because if the power goes out, your water goes out, because it takes electricity to run those pumps that sends the water to your home. Also, there's water that can be salvaged in your pipes. Open up the top, when you don't have any more water, if the water has gone out, you open up the top faucet. That creates air pressure that'll force the water that's in the pipes to down and go down to the lowermost floor of your home and open up the faucet there and collect the water out of your pipes. For long-term situations, you know, there's rain catchment. You can dig a well. There's groundwater that can be procured, and you can create a ground still, which you catch the evaporation, the water evaporating out of the ground. So there are a few things there, but most of all, you know, make sure you have water stored and know how to procure the water out of your hot water heater. You open the spigot in the bottom of the hot water heater and you'll get water. You'll have to filter it, and you can build an expedient filter out of anything. You use a coffee can, strain it through a piece of cloth, tie off a leg of a pair of jeans, and you just want to get the sediment out of it, and then you want to boil it to sanitize it.
That's all real good practical information, and it's the kind of information you have at your website, CompleteSurvivalist.com. Can you give us a real short description of what people can find at that website, and then I have more questions for you.
Okay, sure. Complete Survivalist is basically what I wanted to do is develop a community. At Complete Survivalist, there are several survival books, ebooks, and guides that I've written that are available on there for download. I recommend that you print them out and keep them in case of a grid collapse. We have exclusive interviews that you won't find anywhere else on the web. You won't find them on YouTube or anywhere else. It's only for Complete Survivalist members. We have the transcripts of all those interviews, again, for the hard copy factor of it, so you can print them out, add them to your survival library. We're developing a community, a social network, where people from all over the country or all over the world, they can interact with each other and have a free exchange of ideas without the fear of data mining or any of your personal information being stolen and used against you, like on other social networks. And we have regular what we call mastermind survival webinars, in which we have various experts from the survival and preparedness field, or even just myself, and it's basically like a virtual classroom. It's a one-on-one thing where our members can interact with the experts, they can ask all their questions, and really have a one-on-one experience.
That sounds really cool. I look forward to checking it out. That's at CompleteSurvivalist.com. Now, for more questions, a lot of people have bug-out bags, and there's a lot of talk about bugging out. For folks who live in the cities, what is your opinion on whether bugging out is a good idea or not? Now, obviously, if there's a hurricane coming, you know, most people are going to bug out no matter what. But what if it's a case of social unrest? Isn't bugging out a pretty risky strategy in a city?
No, I don't think so. As a matter of fact, if you live in a city, in an urban area, I think that if there's civil unrest, then you're going to want to be where that ain't. So the sooner that you can get out of Dodge, the better. And I recommend that people bugging out can be as simple as it doesn't have to be, you know, heading for the mountains and living in the wilderness. It could be as simple as making prior arrangements with friends or relatives who might live out of state or out of the immediate area. When there's social unrest, it's not very likely that it's going to be nationwide. It's going to be regional. It's going to be focused in one particular area. So you want to have that. You want to have two or three different escape routes, because other people will be having the same idea, and that could clog up all the highways. The highways will turn into a parking lot. So you want to have a few alternate routes of escape and practice them. You know, don't wait for an emergency to happen and try to figure out a different way out of town. And so those kinds of things, yeah, absolutely. Bugging out, I would say as soon as possible. Well, a lot of people get concerned about, like, well, I don't want to jump the gun. I don't want to bug out, and then, you know, then nothing happens and I'll feel like an idiot. Well, you know, it's better to feel like an idiot than to be trapped in a violent and untenable situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. In fact, there was a really interesting History Channel documentary, or sort of a mockument, not a mockumentary, but a part documentary, part reality show type thing. Did you see that? It was talking about the coming collapse and a family trying to get out of the city and all the struggles they went through to do that. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I have seen it. I think it was after Doomsday, or after I don't remember what it's called either, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, because the family that it chose to portray in that documentary was completely unprepared to deal with the things that they faced. They didn't have firearms or know how to use them. They didn't have water filters. The family wasn't mentally prepared to deal with stress. You know, they didn't have an escape route. They were just pretty much on the spot, all of a sudden, you know, gotta leave, what do we do? And they panicked. But it strikes me that most people in America today are really in that same boat. They haven't really thought through preparedness. They haven't practiced the skills. And it's skills, I think, more than stuff that really matters. They may have some canned food in the pantry, but they don't know how to make a water filter out of a pair of jeans and some, you know, coffee filters and a can, for example. You know, what do you think about all this? Or is it the skills? I mean, what percentage of the population, first of all, do you think is really able to survive a serious crisis?
I think a very small percentage, actually. And yes, I do value skills over equipment. And a knowledge over equipment and experience over knowledge. You know, they say the difference between knowledge and wisdom is experience. And having all the books and everything on your bookshelf, and you know, watching Man versus Wild and all that is great. But if you don't have the nuts and bolts experience of actually practicing these things, then you're not going to be as well off as you could be when you actually find yourself in a survival situation. One thing about that show, yeah, they were completely unprepared. They basically hit the ground running, and they just showed them, you know, bumping into one adversarial situation after another. And the chances of family surviving in that type of situation with no skill set, no preps, no equipment, no nothing, is very, very slim. I thought that part of the show was kind of unrealistic. They're probably the luckiest family on earth.
Yeah, really, the lone survivor
to encounter all of those obstacles and then make it through to the other side. And I think the father ended up dying from an infection he got on a cut a cut on his hand at the end. So it's equipment, knowledge, experience. Those are the three things that you need to have, and you can't, you know. You cannot go without experience, and you cannot go without knowledge.
It's funny you mentioned that in that show he died of an infection. I always find that in these survival books or novels, and you know, I've read many of them, that they always portray Western medicine as the only miracle solution to solve your problems. They never have families eating wild foods. Instead, they have whole cities starving when there's dandelions right there in their own backyard. They show people dying of infections and never resorting to, you know, squeezing the juice out of some roots of some plants in the forest, because every root has antibacterial medicine in it. Otherwise, it would be destroyed by soil bacteria. I mean, there's antibiotics everywhere around you in nature, just everywhere. Every plant has antibiotics in it. And yet these survival writers never talk about these natural solutions. That just strikes me as very odd, being someone who's into natural health and preparedness. I think, like, you know, I couldn't starve. You can juice your lawn and drink that and not die of starvation.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I wouldn't try eating your grass and the grass on your lawn, but you can, if you put it in a blender, sure. That's the thing. Well, just because some people are survivalists, and I can't speak for any of those writers, but myself personally, I think being knowledgeable about natural medicines, being knowledgeable about natural foods, I mean, that's indispensable. I have a friend, Sergey Butenko. He's my go-to guy when it comes to wild edibles. He spoke at the event that we put on last spring, and his story is amazing. I mean, he hiked the Pacific Crest Trail from the border of Mexico to the border of Canada, and he ate nothing but wild edibles the entire way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, with our Western culture, though, I mean, that's pretty alien. And we would only do that if we were faced with a starvation, you know, scenario where we couldn't catch any critters or find any other more traditional types of food. But I think it's very important. I mean, yeah, there's plenty of weeds out there, folks. I mean, don't throw those weeds away. They're not a pest. They're food. Dandelions and everything else. And if you know how to, if you can identify, what's good to eat. And there's so many green edibles out there. I mean, it's easier to talk about the stuff that you can't eat than it is to talk about the stuff that you can.
Right.
And also, yeah, I'm a big, as far as like, you know, the pharmaceutical industry goes, you know, it's like I'm a big enemy of the pharmaceutical industry. And you'll never hear me talking, except for with a few exceptions. I do recommend that people, if they have, if you're dependent on like insulin or some other pharmaceutical or some other drug that you just simply cannot find a natural analog for, then I suggest that you stockpile that. I do suggest stockpiling antibiotics just because they're convenient and they're effective when you're in a situation where you may have to be treating other people for infections and whatnot. Those are good to have on hand. But other than that, I mean, yeah, honey is a great antibiotic. There's all kinds of natural antibiotics that you should be learning about and knowing how to use them. I'm in the I'm in the apprentice stage myself as far as natural medicine. I've always been a believer in natural medicine, and I'm really taking more time to really build my knowledge base on that, because that's there. I don't think there's anything that could be. There's no ailment that we could have that there isn't a cure for, provided for us already in nature. And most of the pharmaceuticals that we take are just chemical analogs to the original natural remedies.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ed. I also recommend stockpiling basic antibiotics as well. There is a role for pharmaceuticals in a crisis scenario. Totally agree with you. But I recommend people go down to the local feed store where you can buy antibiotics for like 1/100th the cost that they're sold for in pharmacies for humans. You can get antibiotics. You can get real high-grade antibiotics for chickens at your local feed store, and those work just fine for humans. It's the same stuff.
It's absolutely the same thing. I wrote an article about that in a previous issue of Survivalist Magazine, about how to obtain and store antibiotics. And yeah, you can go to the aquarium. I mean, you know, the antibiotics they give you for animals and fish is the same stuff that they give humans. And it's a lot cheap. Military personnel have known about this for ages, that, you know, that antibiotics can be acquired from pet stores and aquariums. So
yeah. Well, it's very good information, Ed. We're out of time. Got to let you go, but I want to encourage people to check out CompleteSurvivalist.com. And Ed, I hope you and I can do some more of these in the future. You've got a lot of information, and the time is coming now where people need to know this information. So I want to thank you for joining me today. Appreciate all your insight.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mike. I'm more than happy to be on your show and get the word out to as many people as possible.
All right, folks, spread the word and get prepared. No matter what's coming, it's better to be safe than to be sorry. And it's very simple, actually, and inexpensive right now to get prepared and learn some skills and protect yourself and your family. I am prepared. People like Ed are prepared. People like Alex Jones are getting prepared. Everybody who wants to survive is on board with staying safe and helping to restore law and order in a society where such things may be collapsing in the, you know, the predictable future. So thanks for joining me today. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, signing off here for naturalnews.com.
When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a 2-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products, and gel first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.